what does it mean to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light? The saints in the light are those who have gone on to glory everlasting. They are those who have built our faith, built our church, built our community, given us the amazing bequest of all that we have and are as Christians. We share in their inheritance, in what they inherited from God through Jesus, and what they have given on to us, in grace and in peace, in faith, in hope, and in love, in the content of our beliefs about God. We see that inheritance around us in many forms. We see it in the stories of the faith. We see it in the amazing gifts that we have received. We see that inheritance in the story told in our sanctuary's amazing windows. They tell us a story about Jesus, about how he truly is the presence of God in our midst, in our lives. As articulated in the passage from Colossians today, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's a powerful concept. That Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The word in Greek being translated image here is icon. We get the word and concept of icons for computers from this word. When you click on the icon on your iPad, your iPhone, or your desktop on your computer screen, what you're doing is you're accessing an application or a file. You're opening it, you're launching it, you're going into it so that you can access the information or the processes that that app or that data file contains. That icon is not principally that thing, but it represents and allows you to access that app or that information. Well, in a very similar way, and more so, Jesus is like the icon of the invisible God, the image of the invisible God, through whom we can access his love, his grace, his peace, his presence, his power, his nourishment, his strength. Through Jesus, we access God, and God, through Jesus, accesses us. This is all part of the inheritance that we have received from God through Jesus Christ. The story about Christ Jesus our Lord, which surrounds us in our sanctuary's stained glass windows. About his childhood in the temple, going to the temple as a young man, as a 12-year-old boy, going to the temple where he was found teaching the religious leaders of the day. His mom and dad, they left Jerusalem to head back home to Nazareth, and they couldn't find Jesus in the traveling group. So they go back to Jerusalem, and they search, and they search, and they search, and they could not find him until they go into the temple, and there they find their son teaching the chief rabbis, the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees of the day, teaching them about God, teaching them about God's presence and God's will. In the Holy Scriptures, the Hebrew Scriptures they had before them, teaching them the depths of the meaning of God. And when they said, "We were looking for you," he seemed perplexed, and he replied, "Didn't you know that I would be in my Father's house?" The first window on the northwest side of our sanctuary is of Jesus as a young man in the temple, teaching the religious leaders of the day. In this young man who you would not normally expect to be teaching, but instead sitting and learning, in this young man we have God's very presence in our midst. That's what that first window demonstrates to us. That's what that first window reminds us of and says to us. That Jesus, even as a young man, embodied the wisdom and the presence of God. The second window on the north side is about his welcoming little children. Something that religious leaders and teachers didn't do in that era. Children were supposed to be seen and not heard. Jesus, however, welcomed them. He placed them front and center. That's what's going on when he has the children in his lap and he's reaching out to embrace them. He's sharing God's love with them. They are critical and important to him and hence to God. The children, the least of any society. The children, those who so desperately need nourishment and the presence of God's love. The children, Jesus reaches out to embrace. And we see that here in the north side central window in our sanctuary. The third window is about Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts. Now, we tend to hide behind doors. We tend to hide behind our locked doors, refusing to open, afraid to open. We cower in fear of the world, in fear of our own sin, in fear of a God who comes to jumble us up, to change us. We cower behind locked doors of our hearts, in fear of God's transforming presence. But Jesus comes and knocks. Jesus comes and knocks on our hearts. Jesus comes and sometimes pounds on the inner doors of our hearts, calling us to open up. Open ourselves to his presence, calling us to unbolt the doors of our hearts and open us and let him in. That's what we see in the third window on the north side of the sanctuary. Jesus standing there knocking. Wanting us to open and let him in. Will we let him into our hearts? Or will we leave the door shut and bolted tight? Turning to the other side of the sanctuary, the first window on the left, on the southeast side, is of Jesus praying for us. In the garden, Jesus prayed for us. In his high priestly prayer, he prayed for us that we would all be one, that we would love one another as God has loved us. Jesus was facing torture and death for us, but his attention and his prayer was for us. Let not my will, but thine be done, O God. Can we pray that? Will we pray that? Remember the WWJD bracelets from several years ago? Well, will we do what Jesus did? Not just what would Jesus do, but will we do what Jesus actually did? Place God first and place others first. Place grace and peace and love and hope first rather than ourselves. Jesus has prayed, is praying, and will always be praying for us. Will we respond? In this window, you see Jesus looking up towards heaven, and you see the glow of God's Shekinah, God's glory, descending upon him in his prayer as he's praying for you and me. Will we pray, and will we do what Jesus did? The center window on the south side is about Jesus' resurrection. The angels tell the women, he's not here, he is risen. On Easter Sunday morning, when they come to the tomb and they found that the stone had been rolled away, and they wonder where he is and who has stolen the body, the angel appears and says, he is not here, he is risen. He is not dead, he is not in a grave, he is alive and with us. The proclamation of the resurrection is that he is alive, alive, alive forevermore. He's not confined by a grave, he is not dead, but alive. And we have victory over sin and over death in Christ's victory for us. It is part of the incredible inheritance of the saints in light, this message of the resurrection. It's what we see in this image, in this stained glass window here on the south side. The angel speaking to the women. The women are terrified, they're afraid, they're stunned, they don't know how to understand it, but they hear the word, "He is not here, He is risen, He is alive. Go tell the disciples and Peter that He is alive." The energy in this window, the excitement that they show, is one that we should have too, at the word that He is risen. And it is in the inheritance of the saints in the light to hear that message, to share it with others, and to live it ourselves. The last window on the south side is about Jesus and His continued real presence with us. Jesus died, yes. Jesus was buried, yes. And Jesus, yes, is still with us. That is what this last window affirms and reminds us clearly, that no matter where we are in life, no matter what we may be doing, that we are not there alone. No matter what we may face, we don't face it alone. We face it with Jesus in our midst. The icon of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation. We face everything with Him holding us, leading us, carrying us. We are not alone. God is with us. And thanks be to God. Those are the six windows, the three on each side, that affirm an amazing message from the life of Jesus to the saints in the light. A message shared through light, light through glass. A message of the story of Jesus, the incarnate presence of God, which welcomed little children, that knocks on the doors of our hearts, that prays for us, that is raised for us, and that is present with us here and now. But guess what? Those aren't the only picture windows in this building. There are two more. They're right across from me as I preach this, back up underneath the balcony, in the center, in that center section in the very back. Most people don't see them. Most people don't notice them. But they're there. One is of Jesus with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. She who came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me something to drink." And "You don't have a bucket," she says. And then He says, "I am the water of life. Drink from Me, and you'll never be thirsty." He entered into this conversation with her, and when she goes off, she says, "I've seen a man who's shown me everything that I am and are." And she recognized in Jesus the real presence of God, a life-transforming presence for her. She who had been outside of the Hebraic Jewish community, being a Samaritan woman, looked down upon. She heard the message and responded to the messenger, responded to the message Himself, Jesus. The other window is of Jesus with Mary and Martha. Mary is at His feet, listening as Jesus teaches. Martha's in the background, picking up, cleaning, getting things ready. Mary and Martha, serving Jesus by learning, serving Jesus by preparing, by helping. It's amazing that these two windows reflect women. Women in the life of the family of faith. The Samaritan woman at the well, and Mary and Martha, all of whom had faith in Him as their Lord and their Savior. Even in the moment of deepest tears, Mary and Martha came to Him. Martha trusted in him and knew that whatever he said would be done. Do we have similar faith? Do we have the faith of the Samaritan woman at the well? Do we have the faith of Mary and Martha? Do we have the faith of the women at the resurrection? Do we have faith of the children gathered on Jesus' knees? Will we have that faith? And will we do what Jesus did? We are surrounded by the saints in the light, and we're called to be among them and of them. Will we live that life? That is the challenge that the icon of the invisible God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, gives us. Will we respond? Ask yourself that question. Consider it now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.